When you stop to realize that the population of just one California county, Los Angeles, is greater than the population of many states, you can see one of the issues facing the rural counties of California. So those counties band together in an organization called Rural County Representatives of California, call it RCRC for short, and called one Humboldt County supervisor the boss. Rex Bone recently took office as this year's chair, so he's on the move to get the concerns of rural California into the inboxes and attention spans of legislators in both Sacramento and Washington. Supervisor Bone, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Getting ready for our regular Tuesday board meeting at 9 o'clock, but looking forward to spending some time with you guys.
All right, we'll have you out of there before that meeting starts. Let's talk about RCRC. How long has it been around, and why was it created in the first place?
It was formed it's been around for about 35 years, approximately. It was formed basically, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's 35 rural counties, soon to be 37. We got a couple more counties joining. And what it was is we represent about 53% of the land mass in California, 9% of the population.
Wow.
And since acres don't vote, and you hit that when you talked about LA County, LA County's population exceeds all 35 of our counties combined.
All of them together don't get more than LA.
All together, because LA County's about 25% of our population in California, with a little over 10 million.
Wow.
So they're about 26%. So they've got a lot of juice. I mean, and the power either comes from your elected officials, and they've got a lot. I mean, I think LA County itself has 28 assemblymen, and we have one assemblyman from the Oregon border down to Marin. So we needed to get together, band together, get some good, powerful thinking people together and band together and then go as a group. And it's kind of funny, our rural counties. And like you were talking about going to Washington, D.C., I'll be in Washington, D.C. next week, and we'll meet with a bunch of the West Coast states, and it's absolutely amazing. All of our rural counties have the same problems. We have the homelessness issues. We have the opioid problems. A lot of them in Oregon and stuff have the cannabis issues. But those happen all in the rural counties because we have the space. And so we got together so we could band together and kind of try to push some legislation that was beneficial to our rural population, so we got the same benefits that some of the more urban suburban areas got.
I was going to ask you why you would feel that it's necessary, given that you do have representatives in Sacramento, but as you pointed out, it's one representative for several counties.
and that's it. And again, we're pretty like-minded thinking, but you have to understand, obviously, the coastal issues, you know, with our coastline here, you know, in Humboldt County and Del Norte, Mendocino, Sonoma, and all the way down. They have a few other issues than the inland people have along the I-5 corridor and stuff like that. But the one thing a lot of the rural counties have in common is a lot of our land base is state and federal lands. So, you know, we find ourselves arguing for our payment in lieu of taxes that was always, you know, we will pay you taxes, you know, because it's not in the private sector. We've taken it over for parks and schools and, you know, for the universities, those kind of things. But mainly it's forest lands, recreational lands. I mean, 75% of all outside recreation takes place in rural counties.
Well, it really does for that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, I mean, I think 77% of all the federal lands are in rural counties. So, I mean, that's where you go. Where do you go to you recreate? You go to the Six Rivers. You go to the National Forest. You go up to Oregon's National Forest or some of the state parks.
So does either party, Rex Bone, pay more attention to rural issues, or the story pretty much the same no matter who's running the legislature in Sacramento?
Well, I don't. The rural counties tend to run a little more conservative because they're resource based. I mean, they log, they mine, they go along those lines. So they're a little more conservative based. I know in believe it or not, in California, 23 of the rural counties voted for Trump. And you know, California is not Trump's favorite, and that I think it's reciprocal for most of us, for most of the county. But I mean, they tend to run a little more conservative because it's where your beef is grown,
mm-hmm.
It's where your timber and your woods come, where your lumber comes from, it's where your gravel and asphalt, those kind of issues. So, It's more of a blue collar, I guess.
Sure. You use that that term in a couple of different ways, where your beef is grown.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, we like along our, you know, Humboldt County, we're very well known for our grass-fed beef.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very large commodity. And even during the drought, we were able to keep our grass grew well enough up here, being a coastal county, that we were able to keep that. We didn't have to supplement the feed. So we've got a pretty good grass-fed movement, and that's kind of a an organic movement right now, and it's a very popular one right now. So, and we also have, we're very big here, you know, and I'm being a little centrical on Humboldt County, but we're also big on organic dairy also. Mm-hmm. I think we have like 48 organic dairies. So,
well, Rex Bone is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the District 1 Humboldt County Supervisor and the current chair Rural County Representatives of California, heading up an effort by 35, soon to be 37 counties in California to make sure that their issues get addressed by legislators in both Sacramento and Washington. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, talk about issues of interest to rural California or rural areas generally. They seem to be very similar, no matter which side of the state line. Join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So does the chair rotate between counties, Supervisor Bone, or were you elected? I mean, how was the process of selection handled?
I was elected by the 35 members, and we have one election every year, and you're actually, the one opening is for second vice chair. So you're elected to the second vice chair, and then the next year you are the first vice chair, and the next year, and let's say kick you out, you're the chair. So you sit in the chairs for 3 years. You actually sit in the chairs for 4 years because you spend 1 year as the past chair also. So there's one election every year for one seat, and that would be the second vice chair, and then you rotate forward. And it's kind of voluntary. If you step up and decide you want to run, you step up. Hopefully you can get more than 17 people to vote for you. And then you serve at the pleasure of the other counties.
So the beauty is you get 2 years of training before you settle into the chair role.
Exactly. You get to sit in the co-captain seat without having to actually fly the plane.
So you mentioned homelessness first. I wanted to ask if that is the one issue above all others that you really want to get addressed by both Sacramento and Washington, or if there's something above it.
You know, I think that is, and we can almost go back to the 70s when we closed the mental hospitals, because I know here in Humboldt County we've got an issue with homelessness. And about 70% of them, we figure, through our point in time count, they have mental issues. They have some sort of mental issue. And it's not all veterans. There's veterans, but it's just across the board. And in our position, we just have a lack of housing for them. And in fact, we're going to address it today at our meeting today and set up a task force to see what we can do. With that being said, I think everybody's seen the videos of Orange County and Sacramento County and stuff about the mass quantity of homeless people they have. And I think we need to work together to find some place for them to have safe, you know, safe, comfortable, at least somewhere to sleep at night. I don't think we can build, you know, 50. Somebody said the other day, we have 50% of all the homeless people in the United States are in California.
Huh, given the population, that might not be surprising.
Relatively speaking. And the other thing is, given the weather. You know, if you get a weather where, you know, you get a few nights that go below freezing, but most of the time it stays up above 40 degrees and you can weather the storm and stay out of the, you know, and we have woods, we have areas where they can actually go set up camps and things like that. And that's been what they've done is set up, you know, basically the old day of hobo camps. They've set up camps out in outlying areas. And then after they get to a certain size, we have to go in and clean them up, and they spread out, and we're turning them all, you know, we try to find housing for them, jobs for them. There's actually jobs available, but some have been so long out of the workforce, the job force, it's kind of not even in their system anymore that they have to clean up and get a job. And so we're trying to retrain them so they can actually become, you know, part of the citizenship back into the county and become citizens, you know, that have some self-respect. I think what we need to do is build the self-respect, because I think when you're on the streets for so long, I think that's probably what you lose first is your self-respect.
One of the things we learned in a recent county-by-county survey of homelessness around the region is that they're basically the visible homeless that you're talking about and the invisible homeless, which are the people squeezed out by very low vacancy rates. And it seems uniform across the region. We're talking generally 2% of the rental homes are vacant at any time, which is a very low number. So when you look at housing, I mean, what kinds of things do you think that the states and feds could be doing that they're not doing now?
Well, we've got some units being built, and I mean, they're 30 units, but I think we have like 80 units in the planning stages to be built. And part of them are for homeless, part of them are for homeless vets, and then some are for mental crisis people that have mental crisis, and we'll have people staff on site, you know, to deal with those issues on a regular basis. So if there's a traumatic event for them, they have someone to talk them down and work them through. And this is the big thing we have to look for is the proper housing, because we have a real hard time mixing them. You know, you have to have services available. And housing is just a small portion. If you put someone in housing that isn't used to housing, we're going to have a problem. I think we need to have housing and services, and that's what we're trying to do. But, you know, the big boogaboo is it all takes money. And by the time you get services and you build, it all takes money. And we either have to have help from the feds or, you know, feds in the state. And the state has passed a couple housing laws, but the money hasn't started flowing yet. So, I mean, it's a long-term project, but I think we've talked about it so much. I think people are getting anxious to see some action on it.
Rex Bone is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a Humboldt County supervisor from District 1, which centers on Ferndale, but he's also the chair, as of this year, of the Rural County Representatives of California, RCRC, which endeavors to bring the concerns of rural counties to state legislators and to members of Congress as well. He's traveling to Washington next week. You can talk to him now on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Mark in Eureka. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hey, guys. I was initially, in your conversation, piqued by the comparison of the Electoral College to what the RCRC program is trying to bring to light within the state. And I'd like to hear how they, you know, I'm not for the Electoral College. I feel it undermines our democracy. But I am for what Rex is advocating here, where and what I'm sensing is the land itself has a vote, that the land mass needs to be considered and represented somehow, and maybe you could help me understand what I'm kind of struggling with in my own understanding.
All right, thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. I think what you said, Rex, was something like acres don't vote.
Well, and I think that's a great point. And so what we have to do, and I think that was the whole basis behind RCRC. I mean, I think, and I don't know if I have these numbers right, but I mean, we have somebody like Alpine County, which has somewhere around 1,000 people, you know, and then you have, and Humboldt County at 134,000 people is considered a fairly large county for RCRC, because a lot of the counties are, you know, 10, 15, 20,000, some of our more rural counties as we get closer to the Oregon border. And, I mean, obviously Shasta is big, but, and then Tehama, then Butte, you know, you start mentioning all these that come through, and then your neighbor Lassen and Siskiyou and those guys up there. But you're exactly right. We have large timber tracts of land. We provide, I think, somewhere around 70% of all the water for the state of California. I mean, by the time we, you know, ship everything down to them and through our canals and through our lakes up, you know, in Northern California, we provide a lot. So we'd like to have a little bit better say in both in you know, dollars spent on infrastructure. I mean, that's a big thing for us right now. We're talking about this infrastructure bill that's coming through. Well, you know, the infrastructure bill is, I think, $1.5 trillion, but most of it's matching funds. Rural guys have a hard time doing matching funds. We have a hard time coming up with $8 billion or $8 million to do a big, you know, $8 million is a big project for a lot of the rural counties. We have trouble coming up with those matching funds, so we have to leverage that with our state and federal partners to make sure we can do that and get those kind of things. But we still have to, Humboldt County's 4,400 square miles, 600 square miles of that is water, but we still have to patrol those 4,400 square miles. So, and a lot of that is federal and state, and we don't have a lot of federal and state public safety officers. We have a few, so we have to work in partnership with them. And again, going back to the acres don't vote, people vote, and that's why RCRC banded together our 35 and hopefully soon to be 37. I sound like a commercial. But I mean, I'm putting pressure on those other two to get on board.
Sure.
We actually have a pretty good voice. We're a block away from our offices or a block away from the Capitol. We've got some great legislative analysts who spend a lot of time on the Hill knocking on the doors. We've been very successful on a couple bills that were, I would say, urban-centric. They really benefited the urban, but they didn't do anything for the rural. The rural guys, and we went in and says, hey, we're part of this state, too. We're a big part of this. We're 53%. We don't have the people that will show up at the polls, but, I mean, you still have a moral obligation to the land of the state. And so we've been able to actually be a pretty loud voice and a combined voice. That's why I was excited. We had never belonged to RCRC until about 6 years ago, even as long as it's been around. Hmm. And when I got elected, I was very familiar with them. It says, boy, they're a pretty big voice for rural county. So we got on board, and it's been a successful relationship for us.
Well, you're right about Alpine County at 1,110 people. It is the smallest county in California. And who's ever heard of Markleyville? We're talking to Rex Bone, who's a Humboldt County supervisor and the chair of RCRC, the Rural County Representatives of California, here on the Jefferson Exchange. So let's talk about some of the land concerns. Wildfire prevention and funding seems to be a major issue for you to take not just to Sacramento, but also to Washington next week. What are you going to propose?
Well, it's like the Wildfire Disaster Funding Act. We've got to end the practice of fire borrowing. We've got to treat a fire just like we do a flood or an earthquake. I mean, it's a natural disaster. It's not a planned disaster. It's a natural disaster. And under the WDFA, what we're going to do is we're going to take, do a common sense approach towards reducing fire effects. So I think we spent $2.7 billion fighting fires here last year. Well, that was like 83% of their budget. And what that does, we lose all those forest management dollars to go out there and, brush undercutting, some thinning. So basically we don't have this rush of fire going through and all those fuels. And we have people out there working in the woods, kind of, making fire breaks and getting things up, but they don't have the funding if we borrow year to year to fight these fires. And as you know, we've had a huge, especially down, not as much in Humboldt at all, but down in our middle states, Tuolumne, around Yosemite and stuff like that, the huge fires down there because we've had the bark beetle during the drought, and we have dead and dying trees. We lost 7 million trees in one big swath last year, and they have communities, these forest communities up in the hills. Every tree in the community is dead, and what they have to do is get those trees down before they fall on something.
All right, so this is where discussions of fire prevention often turn quickly to forest management. Are there things you're pushing specifically for management?
Oh, obviously, the forest management is thinning, clearing, cleaning. I mean, cleaning underbrush. I mean, making sure we have access when there are fires. Taking away some of the risks that we put out there, because what we do is we use all our money up fighting the fires when we could probably actually do a lot more in preventing the fires. And knowing full well that we had a drought, so we've been, we do have a little bit of a tinderbox happening. But those are just little things that we can work for. And then we can reduce the effects and the severity of the wildfires. We're never going to stop wildfires. And again, wildfires, small wildfires aren't that bad. I mean, our ancestors did it for years to manage the forest, and we had pretty healthy forests to clean the underbrush out. But the magnitude of the fires are coming so bad, it doesn't just clear the underbrush. It takes the trees out, too.
All right, let's shift from a land-based thing to a people-based thing. Criminal justice, particularly as relates to drug dealing. Are there some changes you're proposing for the legislature in Sacramento?
Yeah, the Safe California Act, Prop 47, 57, and 109 has just dumped a lot of criminals back into our counties. It's like our jail. We house 417 people in our jail, and we're bouncing at 400 every day. And some of these people are in there for 2.5 years because they've been bounced back out of the prison system because they had a federal edict to stop crowding in their jails. Well, what has happened is we don't manage jails anymore. We actually have prisons. We've got gang problems. we have isolation areas because we can't have one population with the other population. It's become an extreme situation, and a lot of that is that 4757109. I mean, somebody can break into your car now, steal a gun, and it's a misdemeanor. We had somebody caught the other day with a large quantity of methamphetamine. They were out in 4 hours because it was not our matrix system, because of our overcrowding. It was not a crime against a person.
Right, it was a property crime.
These, yeah, it was a property crime. And these, and I'll tell you what, when you've been ripped off, when you've had your house broken into or something else like that, it does damage you. It damages your psyche. It damages everything you think about what you had before and your the way you look at everything. And it's and that's an issue we have to handle. But, and again, 70% of our crimes are drug related. I mean, either trying to get more money to buy drugs, or something happened during the involvement of selling or possessing drugs.
So let's get to legal drugs before we go and talk about cannabis. What kind of tweaks do you want to see in cannabis legislation within California?
Well, I think now that 64, we need banking. We need banking. Colorado's got a huge issue with the cash issue, and they've had, you know, people are finding out, geez, I don't have to steal marijuana, I'll just steal their cash. And there's a big cash issue going on. So we need to do, and last time I was in Washington, D.C., we had a banking hearing, and Colorado, Washington, and California were all represented. There was like 400 people in the room, and they were looking at credit unions or starting a banking system of their own. But that's one thing. We did take that criminal element out of it. And then the other thing is the regulatory thing, is finding out exactly where we're going to grow it, how we're going to grow it. We were kind of disappointed that the CDFA and the Act didn't put any limits on the acreage cap. I noticed San Bernardino just passed us in acreage, which is fine. But, I mean, it started up here with, you know, we were trying to get this legalized. We weren't trying to get legalized. The California voters obviously legalized it. Once they legalized it, we had to manage it. Mm-hmm. And so, and hopefully get some revenue out of it, because it's been a non-revenue-based business in this area for 30 years,
all right.
Except for the tax money they spend when they buy their products. But, I mean, actually paying, you know, profits on the product sold.
All kinds of concerns, obviously, for the rural end of the state being addressed by RCRC, which is Rural County Representatives of California. Humboldt County First District Supervisor Rex Bone is the chair for this year of RCRC. And thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about priorities.